We're partially live this morning. Good morning. Good to have everybody with us. And welcome to everybody online. If you are online, we're running a little bit late, but we're enjoying each other. You ought to be here. Grab you a cup of coffee, and we are going to do a little bit. I think after about a couple songs, we're going to do a patriotic song. And so if you are a veteran, we want to make sure you're prepared to stand up so we can show our appreciation to the veterans here and to veterans out into the world. So I believe that somebody told me that was Wednesday. Yeah. So we'll make sure. Hey, you guys snuck in. Good seeing you. All right. All righty. Well, let's sing a couple. This is one of those days I wish that we were all at my house and we could just all sit around the table and talk. And we'll get to that when we get to the sermon, because it's not going to be one of those where we scream at you. I'll say that. I'll get off Harry Carey. this is just really something I needed today, but let's sing a little bit, give the Lord praise, because I know that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. That means he comes in when we start worshiping him. He has a promise to us that that's exactly what's going to happen when we start praising him. He enters into the place. So we're going to talk about the cross. So alas, and did my Savior die?
Savior bleed.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Good to see you this morning, young man. You're looking good. I saw you out of the corner of my eye. I thought, there's Charlie and Debbie. Good to see you. We've been praying for you. You're looking good. Looking good. Awesome. They went right there. That's worth getting out of bed for. Right there to see Charlie. Yo, do we know this one? The way of the cross leads home?
Yes.
Okay. I must needs go by home by the way of the cross. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er give sight to the gates of light if the way of the cross I make. The way of the cross leads home. The way of the cross leads home. I bid farewell to the way of the world, to walk in it nevermore. For the Lord says come, for the Lord says come, and I seek my home where he waits at the open door. Oh. anybody else showed up. I got to get some of this equipment off. Isn't it amazing how many wires and stuff we have on now? Thank goodness I don't have a pacemaker because it would definitely affect it. Sure. You got a headphone, you got, you know, all this stuff. If you have been and served or currently serving in the military as a veteran, we just would like for you to stand. We want to acknowledge you. And if you have ever served in the military, Sammy, okay, wonderful. You served in the Army. Charles, what?
Army.
Sam?
Air Force.
Robert?
Marines and the Coast Guard.
Marines and the Coast Guard in your Army? Served in the Army? Curtis is currently in the Army. Anybody else? Wonderful. Let's give them some that you have done and are doing. And I'm proud of two of my three boys who was in the serving, and Curtis is still there. I'm hearing rumors that he may get transferred someplace else, but we're just going to ignore those. You know, you go with the what's the name of the head of the Army? What's his name? What, you don't know?
Right now, Donald Trump.
Right now it's the president. No, we're not going there. We're not going there. His supervising officer, we're praying to God he's not going to have any power to take my son away. So in honor of those, let's do probably what ought to be our national anthem, if you ask me. Serving, I tell you what, I don't think we even have an idea of what is happening. We have a country that's free, and we have people that's used to that and defending countries that's not. And I don't know, we just need to be always grateful. I have a few things we want to share with you. Next Sunday is going to kind of be a unique Sunday. We'll have church like normal. We're going to have the sprinkle for Amber and Carl's new baby that's coming. So if you go by Walmart or one of those places and Target, or I don't want to think I'm trying to push you to go to any particular place. P&E's, I can go right down the list. I'd love to say Steinmark, but they're out of business. Anyway, don't you know that I'm grieving that, Jane? I really am. That hurts. Anyway, Ross or anything. Remember Amber and Carl, and just bring a little gift or something just to show them that we care. We're just going to put those on a table, and we'll help load them up in the car. That'll be next week. for their baby coming. And then after church, we're honoring a new one coming, and we're going to celebrate an older one going to heaven. And we're going to have a little memorial service immediately following church for Kaylee. Kaylee did not want anything in her particular wishes, but she did mention she wanted a couple songs sung, and it's hard to do that without having anything. So for those that are here that want to stay, in the 15, 20 minutes, I think we have some people from other church that may be coming, a few of her friends, her neighbor that helped her when Kaylee passed on recently. And we'll do that next Sunday after church. So just so you know that, and appreciate that. Be praying for all those that have gone on and those that are on our prayer list. And if you're new with us, I appreciate you being here. But we have a little thing where Esther kind of tries to tell everything about what's going on and keeps us up to date on what's happening. If you haven't had a chance to look at the building out back, would love for having you go up out there. You're welcome to go upstairs. Wipe your feet. And there's no place to wipe it, but just be careful. I don't want the place to get dirty. Anyway, look upstairs, and the entire upstairs, well, not entire, but it's almost done with the flooring. There's only, I think, the details. The borders are going to be put down upstairs this week. And we're getting word that everybody likes that look. And we may do that downstairs too. So we'll consider that. My consideration is I want to see what it's going to cost for both options. So, and they are going to do one area for me this week to see what it looks like polished on the floor. So I'm going to have a judgment of maybe what that looks like. But be praying for that. If you go into the bathrooms and you notice the stools are close, don't email me. I've contacted the city. They are legal, okay? It's by code. It's an optical illusion. There will be a wall there, and you're going to be it'll be up to the wall, but the toilet dispenser is not going to be in your face. It's going to be on the one that has. I love being a pastor, but I'm getting these emails and these calls. Don't get all alarmed. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
We do it the same
time. I can write a book and nobody. What, Robert? What is it? I know. But anyway, that's just kind of an optical illusion. But I did take your advice, and I got a hold of the city and made sure it is code. It is code. It's exactly the code. And it just looks funny because there's not barriers up there yet. And we're not doing a military style. We will have stalls in all the bathrooms. Right?
Well, my neighbor.
See what you're missing when you're just online. You don't know what kind of fun we have here. Anyway, I think that's all the announcements. We do have a Thanksgiving coming up, and we're going to be doing a thing where some of the people that already know about this are going to be cooking some meals. And as a church, we have people that's going to be taking meals to some people in our church, and that's going to be our way of Thanksgiving to them, a Thanksgiving meal. That's going to be happening. And if you haven't been asked and want to help with that, I would think Annie or somebody like that would be the ones to discuss that. They're kind of working on that. And all of that information there, all the Zoom information is in here too for the Sunday school classes. And tonight, if you don't have anything to do at 8 o'clock, we have CJ and Shelly Heights. It's going to be on HITZ. And it's going to be very religiously based tonight. But this guy has written book after book after book after book. And I'm going to try to get him to talk about forgiveness tonight through God's grace. I need that. You may need that too. So it's kind of what we're going to be focusing on. But next Sunday night is Dr. Bruce Perry. That will be the biggest show that we've ever had in the year we've had. It is huge. He is an unbelievable, unbelievable author, New York Times bestseller, and it's going to be really good. That's all the announcements I know. Let's have the ushers come forward. Appreciate everybody that is supporting and the gives and the givers online, and we appreciate that. Gilbert and Esther out. I think there's a veterans run that they're out supporting some of their family in that. I had entered the marathon, and I didn't realize it was on Sunday, so I had to cancel my participation in it. We need one more. You got it.
It's virtual.
I'm going to do it virtual. That's very good. I counted it's going to take me 354 times from the recliner to the bathroom and back within a certain amount of time, and I'll do my marathon. Never mind. Never mind. Jack Manley, I'm going to have you come. If you come right up here, young man. And that way everybody can see you kind of belly up there. And turn around and then just lead us into prayer. And for all the people that are hurting and on our prayer list, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Father, we thank you for your love and your goodness to us because you are good. We thank you for how you've blessed our church, touched the lives of our members and those of our guests and friends that have been joining us virtually. We lift up to you the families of those that of our loved ones and our friends that have passed away in the last few weeks. Yes. We still pray that you comfort them, give them the strength that they need. For Charlie Ernspector, we lift him up to you and ask him that you continue to touch his body, strengthen it. And many of our other folks that are still sick or struggling and battling cancer and a lot of other things. God, touch their bodies. Give them the healing they need to have. Yes. Especially for Peggy. May she heal from the fall that she had. And thank you for how you kept a sweet spirit in our church. We ask that you continue to do that. Open our hearts to the preaching today. Take the love offerings and the gifts that we give today to you. May it be used to honor and glorify you. And may we reach people for Christ for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
presence on holy ground.
Amen. I just love that song. Oh, and I kind of like you guys too. I love you too. I used to make fun of the preachers that used to go up there and sling sweaty and have their towel. Now I know what it means. I just wish, do what? I sleep in my jacket, but thank you. I never take my jacket off. I don't know why, but I just never do. Anybody that knows me, that I, 110 degrees, I'm in my jacket. You know, this is really making sure all the clocks are right in the building. This is really what I wish that we could just sit around and talk. Because every now and then, we need a sermon that just slings sweat, get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You know, all, you know, and you just really try to get people into heaven. And then things, every now and then you get something that you want to just hammer, and you know, you're in a series like we did through Jonah or whatever. And then every now and then something comes into it where you may need it. And I think I saw this morning, it was online, something, some ministry wrote it or something and sent it to me, and I'm going to mess it up. But I think sometimes we can spend hours of trying to come up with a sermon. Or you can spend hours with the Savior, and He'll give you one. And this is what I needed this week. And so I'm just going to let you know. But I got a feeling some of you do too. And I really want you to take this personal. We're going to be talking about your personal dead zone. A zone that you aren't even aware that's in you, that you have totally ignored that it is in existence. And this may not be fun, but I know I needed it. What's God's purpose for us? What does He want us to do in our life? Turn to Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, 29. So if you're sitting here and you're visiting, and you just thought you'd come through church and just, hey, you'll bless God, you'll bless us by your lovely presence this morning. I think it's more than that. What is, you know, take this question. What is God trying to do with you in your life and through your life? What is God trying to do in you, through you, and in your life? What kind of answer do you have for that? In Romans 8, 29, we're just going to read this. I want to read this in one version, then read it in another one. Because I think sometimes we read and go, okay, that's nice. And then we go on. It's like, wait, there's more meat to that bone. Keep on chewing because you have to get them this. Because this is all prelude. This is free. And hopefully I'll get through the free stuff in a half hour. Okay? If you're there, Romans 8, 29, say, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. For whom he foreknew. Before the beginning, this was his intent. That's the Williams version. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now the verse, there's a lot of sermons in these verses, and the one that it connects to is another sermon that could be at another time. But I want you to hear this same verse out of a different version. Because you read that, just read that version that I did. I don't know what I have. What do I have? New King James. So for those King James people, this is the real word of God.
Okay,
yes. Okay. But that's a nice verse, right? For he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. A lot of us read the Bible like that. Well, okay, that's fine and dandy. Okay, is that it, Craig? Is that all we're going to get out of this? Don't mean anything to me. That's why you have to have different versions. And today on your phone, there's no reason why you don't go into Bible.com or some of these others and just type in a verse, and it'll come up with 500 different versions. And make sure it's a legitimate one. Don't find, you know, one that's from some weird place. But majority of those are legitimate. Same verse goes like this. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would. Getting this? That's what that says in that verse. Then it adds this, which is in that verse too. Should become like his son. So what's our purpose? Our purpose is to become like Jesus. They say, wait, I thought my purpose was to be blessed. To have a nice house. Have enough money where I can bless others. Blessed to be a blessing. That's not what his word says. His word says, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him and all along who knew who would, should become like his son. 2 Corinthians 3:17. And 18 goes like this. We just want to write this down. For from the very beginning, okay, same thing. So from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him, and all along he knew who would. No, that's the same verse. I'm sorry. Let me go back. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. I already read that verse. Chapter 3, verse 17, 18. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more happy, content, blessed, driving nicer vehicles. It makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Now, if you want to find a fancy word and always wonder what the fancy word means, put in your margin right there beside that verse, sanctification. That's what it's all about. That's sanctification. You go, well, what's that mean? Well, you just read it. That's the definition, basically, of sanctification. Another verse, and I'm not going to apologize for all these verses, okay? That'd be so goofy of me. I apologize for what I say, but never the word of God. Galatians 5:22. How do we know we're becoming more like Christ? How do I know? Is there a gauge? Remember those gauges at the carnival? If you can put your hand on a little thing, and it tells you what kind of lover you are. For a quarter, you can find out by putting this on a carnival thing. To find out. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to have a thing that you can put up and go, what kind of Christian we are? I don't know if any of us would want to know that. How close are we to Christ? So how can we know? Glad you asked. Galatians 5:22. When the Holy Spirit controls your lives, you will produce this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Really clear what it means to have God in control of your personality is to be in charge of who we're like as a person. So that we're shaped into the image of Jesus. Now, this is why I would love to have you around my dinner table, to where we could just kind of sit back and soak this in. I'm in a time constraint here, and normally I have to get up a couple times just to keep you awake. But nobody has ever fallen asleep at my dinner table. Have you ever had anybody over at your house and they fall asleep at the dinner table? No. But they come to God's house all the time and do it. Wow. And I think I would like that because it would make us go, hey, why are you here? What can I do for you? How can I help you? How can I lead you to a better life? How can I be a coach for you? How can I be a friend of yours? How can I be a pastor to you? And that's to encourage you to become more like him. Well, Greg, I just need to get through this week. Did you notice the third quality, the third fruit was peace? When you become more like him, you get that peace. This verse is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. Is it of you? Is it of me? But there's the verses before that that set us up for a really strong contrast, because we always go to these verses, right? Oh, this is the fruit I get to pick from. But the verses before that is the slap in the face. When you follow verses 19 through 21 in Galatians 5, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature rather than having the Holy Spirit be in control, the results are absolutely clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. And you go, well, that's my neighbors you're talking about. Now let me step on your toes. Quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfishness, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. Who put that one in there? Some of you have that whited out in your Bibles. And other sins like these. Then it goes into, but when the Holy Spirit's in control, then you get the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to understand, wait, if I have any of that, I'm not aware of it. Welcome to your dead zone. We all have that in us. We all have those parts in our body, in our actions, in our behavior that falls on the list from 19 through 21 there in Galatians 5. We have that dead zone in us. You just don't want to admit it. And I don't want to admit it, but we do. And it sets us up for his fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace. There's something I want you to write down. It goes like this. So if this is one of those, I don't know who is this, there's a preacher. It may be Andy Stanley that has he has a way to put the whole sermon in one sentence. I don't normally do that because I talk longer than him. But if you had to do it, it'd be this. When I'm in control of my personality, I will leave damage in my path. When God's in control of my personality, I'll leave blessings in my path. You thought you were just coming to hear a poem and a sermon and go home. What kind of path are you leaving? When you walk in the room, and more importantly, when you walk out, what kind of path did you just leave? What kind of impact? Destruction? Negativity? Or blessing? Not sure? Look behind you. Look back on your life. Damaged people. Damaged relationships. Damaged connections. I have that. This is for me. So there was a dead zone that I was blinded to. And that's the first point I want you to see in a 3-point sermon. I'm lying. There's 4 points, but I don't think I'll get to the 4th. But hopefully I will. We all have a dead zone, number one. I understand, and you've done this thing where, you know, the peripheral, you know, where they say, okay, there's, you know, when you're in your car and you're driving a U-Haul, I never will forget. It was Truck or Treat, wasn't it? I don't know how many years ago that it was when Matt comes in with the U-Haul and literally runs over the tree. And, well, I didn't see it. It was in my blind spot. Well, the whole doggone driveway must have been, because he just ran right through it. And here he comes. He drives like Curtis. You're like, you know, and he just came to throw over. All it's like, wow, good night. Welcome to Pearland. We all have that. And they claim that it's there, that, you know, okay, right there, I can't see my fingers. And okay, there I can. It's amazing, Charlie. I saw you and Debbie while I was playing the piano out of the corner of my eye. But if I was turning a little bit more, I would have never seen you. It was called that a dead zone, that blind spot. We all have that. But we not only all have physical dead zones, we have emotional. And that emotional dead zone keeps us from seeing clearly the disconnect between the way we see ourselves and the way other people experience us. The way we see ourselves and the way other people experience us. And these dead zones, the emotional dead zones, are places in your personality where we lack clarity, insight, and awareness of who we really are and our pattern acting and relating in life. And we all have them. Nobody in this room is immune. Why do we choose blindness over sight? Why do we choose to live the dead of the living zones? Why do we choose that? Number two, there's six reasons, and I will just list these for you real quick. Why you choose these. Number one, pain. It just flat out hurts sometimes for somebody to totally expose to me what my dead zone is, what my real behavior is. It hurts. Number two, pride. I have people like this at work that you have a meeting, and in that meeting, you've really come down. We need to do this. There's people that's doing this. And the one person that you had the meeting about is sitting on the front row, just nod their head like, yeah. And literally thinking it's somebody else in the row that I'm talking about, when it's you that I'm talking about. And I wish I could just announce, today we're going to talk about Juanita. I just pull a name out. So don't go looking at Baylor College of Medicine. I don't even have a Juanita that works for me. Juanita, this is what's wrong with you. But our pride sometimes causes us to be blind on who we really are. So you have an issue, a pain. It hurts to look. Could I really be that way? Two, pride. Three, fear. Honestly, there's just sometimes when people point something out in us and we get those flashes of insight, and then we get scared because we don't know how to be any different than what we are. Fourth thing is because we're lazy. It takes a lot of work to change. It takes hard work to change. Five, you're stubborn. I'm stubborn. Believe you me, I am. And then one that I won't hit on because there's no reason to go there because we go there a lot. Trauma. I've come to know more and more and more and more in my life that some of those dead zones in my life has been placed there because of the trauma that I went through in my life. And it automatically deadens an area in us. And if you've been there, done that, you know what I'm talking about. There's just some issues that it kills it. And literally, in the real world, in the medical world, in the neurological world, it literally cuts off neurons in your brain when you go through trauma. You have a traumatic, a person's brain and a normal brain that hasn't gone through trauma is looks considerably different in an MRI, considerably, because it cuts off the neurons when you have trauma. So you don't behave like you ought to. So trauma has an impact on that. And in that, why do we choose blindness or deadness instead of seeing is because of those eight things. A couple verses, Psalm 19, 12 through 14. This is where I was at when I read this and go, wait. What's this saying to me? This is how to pray through, Lord, reveal to me your blind spot, my blind spots, my dead zones. Psalm 19, 12 through 14. God, how can I know the sins that are lurking in my heart? Cleanse me. Cleanse me from those hidden thoughts. It's a prayer. Lord, how can I know who I really am? Show that to me and take that away from me. Those things that are hidden there. And keep your servant from deliberate sins. So it's like I know there's stuff I can't see and it's hidden. So show that to me and then help me deal with the things that I know about, that I'm doing. Don't let them control me. Have you ever been, and I'm not done, sorry, right there. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought you had it all in order and then something happens and something else totally rises up in you and takes control? It literally, whatever that emotion is, it literally grabs you from the driving seat of your emotion and throws you to the back seat and becomes the driver. And a lot of it is pride. A lot of it is our preference. A lot of it is wanting to be in control. You come to my house, you reach for my remote control in my recliner, we're having words. Boom, immediately, don't touch it. You with me? No, women are going, what's the big deal? You don't know what life's about. Us men do. You know what I'm talking about? But we have the same type of things in other areas. They'll come in and do something. Hey, wait, what are you doing? And something else totally controls us. And the verse is dealing with that. Help me deal with those things I don't know about. Don't let them control me, those emotions. And then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth, the external things you're going to see and hear, and the meditations of my heart, the things you will never know I'm thinking and feeling and believing, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my hearts be pleasing to you. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and you are my redeemer. Matthew 7, 1 through 5 goes like this. This is Jesus talking. Don't criticize and you won't be criticized. Oh, that's how you stop it. Every wife just elbowed their husband. That's how you stop it. Seems like pretty good advice, Jesus. Anything else? For others will treat you as you treat them. And why worry about the speck in the eye of a brother? When you have a board in your own, just look this up on Bible.com and read every version of this. Should you say, friend, hey, let me help you take that speck out of your eye when you can't even see because of the board that's coming out of your own? This is Jesus still talking. Not me. Don't get offended. Don't email me. You hypocrite. That's Jesus. Get rid of the board first. Then you can help your brother. Then you can see to be able to give him help. Wow. Is that not good? Verses? What, number three, is our responses to those dead zones? What should they be? You could do it like a lot of us are doing right now. Just reject it because it's not true, Greg. You're just a chubby old preacher. I just came in for an hour and to get a free kolache. I didn't want to change my life. Just reject it because it's not true. You're talking about everybody else in this room but me. Or you could acknowledge it and stop the behavior. Or, and this is the one I want to kind of push you towards, acknowledge it and let God root it out. I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, I'll tell you what, I hope I don't want to let their name slip. So it's not nobody in the church, somebody miles away. I said, I'll tell you what, we're dealing with issues with you. Hear him online with him for quite a while. Have you ever pulled out a dandelion out of your yard and just snap it off, and then the next day the doggone thing's back? What we're working with in you right now is you're just snapping it off at the base. There's something else in you that is rooted deeper, and it's time that you let God dig down and get it. I think, who was it? Gene? I'm sorry, Gene, if I'm telling everybody your world, but Gene had that little cancer procedure, you know, where they go in and they scrape it off. Then they go test it. Then they come in and they scrape it off again. And then they go in and scrape it off again to make sure they have it all. Then they come in with the pothole digger and you go, oh, this is going to get bad. But it does no good if you just scrape it off at the surface. So you can either reject it and just pretend, hey, Pastor, that was, you kept me awake for 30 minutes. Fantastic. Thank you. But that's not me. I'm just going to reject it. Or I'll tell you what, I'll just change. Or we could jump into the mode of, I'm going to let God come in and take the root out and scrape it down sometimes to where it hits a nerve, but it won't come back. And I don't want us just to be content with just trying to pluck off the bad fruit. I don't want to produce it anymore, folks. I don't want that bad stuff in me anymore. I want to be like Galatians 5:22. I don't want to have anything that hangs onto those verses before that. I don't want to have all those sins. And some of those I know we don't do. I mean, good night, senior. You haven't had a wild party at your house for a week or two. So you've overcome that. Well, 3 weeks. Okay, thanks for counting. Yeah. I didn't get the invitation to the next one. I'm sorry. But there's things in there that we live and we deal with. I got about 3 or 4 minutes. So I am going to get to number four. So that number three, we'll make sure you got that. Number three was respond to the dead zones. You can either reject it, acknowledge it, and change your behavior, or acknowledge it and let God change the behavior. And you want to go for the third one. And the fourth is, I'm done. How can we learn to accurately see who we are? I'm glad we had time for this. I only have like 2 or 3 minutes. Four things, four ways I can accurately look and see who I really am. Number one, we need to accept that we are God's children and he loves us. And he loves you. That is not in question today. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, that's good. That's enough getting out of bed for right there. But number two, under number four, you need to look at an accurate mirror. You need to look in a mirror that's accurate. You need to go to Bed Bath & Beyond and get the thing that magnifies what your face really looks like. From a distance and online, I look pretty darn good. But when I get up close to the mirror and it starts magnifying, and then they throw this light on these mirrors where you can see every hair that God never intended for hair to grow in is exposed. So you need to look into an accurate mirror. And there's a couple of verses in here because I had to finish. I've got 3 or 4 minutes. James 1, 22 through 25. It says this, and remember, it's a message to obey, not just to listen to. Don't fool yourself. For if you just listen and don't obey, that would be just as goofy, Williams version, to be like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, but just as soon as he walks away, he can't see himself anymore or even remember what he looks like. We need to look into an accurate mirror. Write down Revelations 3, 17 and 18. And the third thing is we need to examine my relationships for patterns of that behavior. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. If you have this kind of behavior that's in your life, admit to it. Well, I wish I had time for 5 questions. I got 2 minutes. What is it that you're pretending that you don't know in your life? What is it that you're pretending is not a problem in your life? What is it that you're pretending that you have overcome but you haven't? What is it that you think you're good at but the closest people tell you you're not? Then what is it like? This is the one I'm going to close on the other side of me. What's it like for me to see me, Charlie, from your point of view, from where you're sitting, and to really analyze that? What's it like to have me as a friend, to have me as a partner, to have me as a pastor? What's that like? What's it like to work for you, work with you? Psalm 51, I'm closing. Last verse. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from all of my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night. Against you and you alone, I have sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight, Lord. You will be proved right in your sight, and your judgment against me is just, for I'm born a sinner. Yes, from that moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from the heart, so you can teach me to be wise in the utmost being. Purify me from my sins, Lord, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Give me back my joy again, God. Been broken. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. You would not be pleased with sacrifices, or I would bring them. If I brought you a burnt offering, you wouldn't accept it. The sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. In a broken and repentant heart, oh God, and you will not despise those. Do you have something you need to take to the Lord today? Am I the only one that needed this? Is there dead zones that we're living that we need to overcome and let God go in and root out all of that stuff in us? Dear Lord, we just come to you and I thank you for the day. Lord, let your work be done. Let the roots be dug up. Let the acknowledgement, Lord, that we have problems in our life. Let the mirror be so crystal clear that we recognize where we do mess up, where I do fall short, where I do act wrong, where I do say the wrong things, where I do have pride and pain and all that stuff that we talked about. Lord, show me how to be better. I don't like what I look like sometimes, Lord, on the other side of me. Show me the purpose of what you have for me, and that is for me to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Faith Springs. We'll see you next week at 10 o'clock Central Time. God bless you. Have an awesome week. Thanks for coming.